Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen production. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And this is Nathan with Legendary Productions.
Heck yeah.
What's up?
And our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hey, you know what? Before we get started, that was a good sound.
That's good.
Mine was like, Yeah. Anyways, yours is good. If you guys hear the air conditioning, oh well, because it's hot and we wanted to be comfortable. So sorry if you hear that, something like that.
It's because we have 20 people crowded in a room.
Yeah, dude, this is so cool. Our podcast has grown like crazy. We have some cool guests. And I'll let Alfonso introduce our guest today, but we have a guest.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting. It's kind of a follow-up to a podcast that we did a little while back. But Alfonso, why don't you take it away, bro?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were, a lot of our listeners were reaching out to us about the episode about kind of being new to the theater and like things like the unspoken rules. So we thought it would be really cool to bring on somebody who's doing their very first show, and they're doing it on a very big stage this summer. So we have Leah Burns on.
What's up, Leah?
What up?
Hi.
So Leah is going to be playing the queen.
Wait, is it Leah or Leah?
Leah. Yeah, Leah.
Okay.
I say it in a way where I'm saying it both ways, so I get away with it.
It was really impressive because I was like, did he say Leah or Leah?
Yep. That's my strategy.
So is it, I don't know Star Wars, but Princess Leia.
Actually, tell that story, yeah, because that was...
I'm going to call you Leah.
Where did the name come from?
You know,
you want me to tell you how many... Where...
Yeah.
Okay, so if you ask my mom, I was named from Leah in the Bible.
Oh, cool.
But if you ask my real dad, which nobody's ever heard from him, it's Leia from Star Wars.
I'm going to go with the Bible one.
Go with the Bible one.
I like that one.
That's what people know me more.
It's fitting.
She walks in...
I am not meek or mild.
Okay, fair.
She walks in and tells me she's an award-winning actress.
I am an award-winning actress.
Michael got up and went to walk out. Mike's like, I'm out. I was like, wait, it's our podcast. You can't leave. Anyway.
So I will not use an STD test.
So oh, thank God.
Don't get into
that
one again.
Yeah.
No ads.
I honestly can't go to Thanksgiving because of Michael's advertisement. My mom's like, you're not coming to Thanksgiving. She's going to really not let me.
You know, when we get a sponsor, we're going to be able to buy our own turkey.
I still want to be with my mom, Michael.
Well, okay.
Jeez. You can buy your own turkey and not be with your mom.
Mom, I love you. I'm sorry.
You're just going to find a problem with whatever I suggest.
That's true.
I said, you know, buy a turkey and you want your mom.
Well, I want a ham.
Well, let's round it back to our guest.
Okay, our guest, yes.
Yeah, so Leia is actually, she's going to be the queen in Frozen at the Redlands Bowl.
She's the queen.
Yeah. So what made you audition for this? This being your first show, what made you audition?
Actually, I do want to know this. I kind of know parts, but I kind of want to know this.
Okay, so I've been doing... I haven't done any theater since high school, right? My last show was in... I did Pirates of Penzance in high school. I was one of the daughters. And then I didn't do anything. You know, life, kids, all the things. And then we actually... My sister and her friend Emily, we went to go see... Sweeney Todd at the La Mirada Theater. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do this so badly. Like, this is my dream. This is what I want to do. And she literally pulls up the phone and she goes, you can do it. They're doing Frozen at the end of the week. This was a Tuesday. And auditions were Friday. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I always say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And up until like the last hour, I was so nervous. I didn't know if I was going to do it. And I parked right in front of the house.
I saw you there.
I was sitting there and I was like, I was freaking out because, you know, you just don't know. And I ended up going in and auditioning. I was nervous as heck.
Actually, before the audition, she was standing out front in line.
Yeah.
And I went out there and she was like rubbing her hands together, kind of twitching. She's like, I don't know what to expect. And they're all talking and. She didn't even know who I was, but I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're all like high energy, but you could tell you're nervous. And,
oh, yeah. I was totally nervous. I was totally nervous. I hadn't done an audition in 20 years or more.
So you had no idea this. You were talking with Nathan of the Upstaging Gentleman.
I had no idea. None. I had no idea I was talking to an award-winning actor.
I am actually. Michael is. I'm not even one, but whatever. Anyway.
But yeah, I had no idea who anybody was.
So, talk about that audition process. This is your very first one. How was it walking into that room? Because I walked into that audition room and was very intimidated.
I didn't see you.
No. I've been in the... Not. I wasn't in there at that time. But I'm saying that I've done, like, many auditions, like... And it's always very nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm
and you
curious.
Can hear the people singing in the
oh, yeah.
And...
So I'm curious to you. It's almost like... You're being, like, led to death or something. You hear, like,
oh, yeah.
Murders happening in the other room. It's like, I'm next. So that's the worst card. So how was it for you?
I was so nervous that I was like, okay, first one in, first one out, right? Like, I was so nervous. I don't know if I just wanted to get it over because I didn't know how it would go. So I was just, let me do it and see where it goes. Walking in, you get a number and just sitting there and you see all of these people. Some are even dressed up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just come from work. I'm like, am I dressed correctly? Like, all the things run through your mind. Like, am I gonna suck? Am I gonna be good? You know, all of the things just run through your mind. You get your number and like Nathan said, you hear the people before you going up and you're just, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? And even then, I'm like, do I even want to stay?
Did that actually pop in your head at where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore?
For a split second, when we were right before we go up, because I think up I was like number seven. Uh-huh. I think I was number seven. And I was hearing everybody else and I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I'm good enough. I really don't think I'm good enough. And then, I don't know if you saw it, but I brought sheet music. I used ChatGPT to help me figure out what to do and what to bring. So.
And did it work?
Well, obviously I'm the queen.
Oh, that's true.
So it helped me. It showed me like, you know, what, how much of a song you should sing, what you should bring, headshots, all of those things.
Oh, cool.
That it told me. So in AI, I think that's a really good.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
positive.
A great reason.
It's a good follow-up there. Yeah. So yeah. How did it feel when that cast list came out and when you, it said announcing the cast and you swipe over and you see your name there? How did that feel?
Well, I didn't know until like the next morning. And actually Emily, my sister's friend, sent me a text message and she blew my phone up. And I have my phone on Do Not Disturb. So when I woke up, I'm like, what? 15 text messages? Like, what the heck is this? And she's like, you did it. And I looked and I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, are you serious? Like, did I really make it? And this was 5 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 5 to go to work. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, is this serious? They must have made a mistake. So I like kept checking it throughout the day to make sure that it wasn't a mistake.
There actually were four Leahs and I put the wrong last name. I didn't want to tell you that though.
You're stuck.
I know.
We
brought you on the podcast to actually break that
news to you. All right. Well, bye guys.
No,
I'm out.
No, I'm kidding. So you were like shocked.
I was because like I said, it'd been so long since I had done a show or like really even sang in front of people except for in my car, you know, or in the shower, you know.
You seen a show at the Redlands Bowl before?
I have not.
So you have no idea what you're in for?
I didn't even know where I was going.
Just in case if there's anybody listening that's not familiar with the Redlands Bowl, it's an amphitheater in Redlands, California. Beautiful, beautiful. It's got a lot of over 100 years of history.
103.
Yeah, and they put on these big, big summer musicals, and that's been the tradition for over 100 years. Nathan has the honor of directing it this year, and so, yes.
I want to tag in, it's totally free.
Yes, totally
like,
free.
They do I'll call it an offering.
Wait, am
I getting paid? That's what I brought you on here for. But they actually pass a bucket around, and the community kind of contributes. Obviously, it doesn't cover the real operational cost. But that's the way everyone gets to be a part of the Redlands Bowl.
Yeah.
And to get to bring performers from all over the world, different backgrounds, different cultures, to get to perform for kids and adults that maybe never get to experience that world because it's too costly or it's not at their fingertips. Yeah. So it's really a sweet, sweet venue. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
And we mentioned this on the podcast before, but I've always been so impressed with, you know, the people back, you know, 103 years ago that had the hindsight or to... Mm-hmm. Not the hindsight, we're looking at it in hindsight, the foresight to say like, hey, if we do this, it's going to be a huge artistic investment in the community. And you look around at Redlands now, it is a very artistic community.
And the people that keep carrying that torch is so inspiring. You're like, wow, someone caught a vision, they keep running with it and then grow it and then perfect it more. And just,
Do you have any idea, like 103 years ago, When they were doing the shows there, was it as packed out as it is today?
No, it actually was where the Lincoln Shrine is. That's where the original, we'll call it, bowl was.
Okay.
And then it moved there, and then it became like literally grass hill. And then there was like just not even concrete, and it kept transitioning over and over. But at first, it kind of, there's a big history, and we don't need to go into that. But it started off as kind of Grace Stewart Mullins basically saying, I want people to be able to see free art and free entertainment. And she kind of did like a sit-in. She's like, I'm not moving until the city makes this happen kind of thing. There's a bigger story, and I'm paraphrasing, so don't quote me on any of that, but it's cool history that someone made that decision a long time ago that's now impacting, you know, us today. It's really powerful.
And fast forward today, like week, without hyperbole, that show's going to draw 10 to 12,000 people.
A night.
Each of the shows. Yeah. So you doing your, not very many people get to debut on stage in front of 12,000 people. How does that feel? How does that make you feel?
I didn't realize it was that big of a number, but I mean,
it's a lot.
I it's nerve wracking. It really is.
Well,
it really
is. When you walked into that first rehearsal, was it as intimidating as that audition was? And how did that feel when you're
the quote unquote orientation?
Yeah, because what's great about the Redlands Bowl to me, I always liken it to like the All-Star game. You come in there and you see all of like the best of all like the performers in the area, and they all kind of unite to make this really cool thing. And you have like this great cameo from an actor you've seen like in Riverside, and they come in. It's like, oh, I know that guy. That's what's so cool about it. So, just how is it walking into that room and adapting to that?
It was really cool to see like and be a part of the, oh my God, we made it. Like out of all of the people that auditioned and all the people that I saw, even as I was leaving, still coming in to be like, oh my gosh, we made it. Like this is our moment. Like it was so cool to be in that room and like understand like we all went through the same process and we all got here. So it was actually really cool to be a part of that, and to see everybody.
That's an unusual, even to have an opportunity like that for your first time, because how many times do you, I don't know, but I'm just imagining, like, it's probably a rare occurrence for an actor to be able to go in and audition for something on that scale, you know, to perform for that many people, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands in just, you know, just a single night, without having an agent, without having, you know, some opening to get you in there. It's just like a totally open cattle call and everybody's welcome.
It really is awesome. And people like Leah that don't know, and Alfonso talked about this a couple episodes back, just that, what's the surreal moment? Use a different term.
Out-of-body experience.
Out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And probably half this cast have never been, maybe more, have not been in a bowl show before. And I have, and I know the magic of that and something that you will take with you forever. And you're a part of that 103-year history on top of being a part of an iconic, you know, Disney show. That's also legendary. It's like, whoa, cool. Ha, legendary. But that wasn't on purpose. But there's something so special about that. And to know, like, to hear that you're excited about that. Because there's the other side. Out of 187 people, only 63 people got cast. So, in a way, I'll just say, you won. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I accomplished this. Because there's people, for whatever reason, not because they aren't good. Everyone's good. Maybe it just wasn't the right timing. I don't need to say a but. However, you guys made it. Whatever the reasons were, you're in that room, and now it's your responsibility to bring that quality and the work ethic to the show. And I think there's something special about that. If you've done sports or anything, like even graduating high school is what you could equate it to. And if you've done college, graduating a college, it's like, oh, wow, we did it. We made it. You know, throw on the cap. Yeah. And that's what Bows will be for you guys. And it's like nothing you probably have experienced in that kind of element, for sure.
I will say I did listen to, when we got the music, I listened to all of it, you know, and ran it through in my car. And then I wasn't expecting it, but the Bow music came out. Oh my gosh, I started playing and I started crying in my car. Mm-hmm. I'm driving around at work and I'm like bawling my eyeballs out because I'm like, oh my gosh, I made it. Like, oh, this is so it. Cool. Like, this is a real thing.
It's so funny. I have such a similar story. When I booked Into the Woods, I remember looking at my phone and then going into my car and then playing the soundtrack that I've been playing for over 20 years. And then it was like a story. Boom! That first note hit and I was just bawling. I don't know what it was. I was just like, it just this emotional release. Yeah. So
when you grow up listening
that.
To something and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I'm a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to represent to somebody their version of Into the Woods or Frozen. I'm going to be what people, when they go home or when they relive their memories of their family or when they're kids and they go, oh, when I was 9, I went to the bowl and I saw the king and queen. Mm-hmm. I saw Elsa, Anna, Olaf, whatever that they take.
Yeah.
That's a representation they're going to take with forever. In a podcast prior, Mike was talking about going to see a show a long time ago with two of his buddies. That's something that someone one day on a podcast or a chip implant is going to be talking about.
I will also not be taking that.
Same. I like your style. Good. But I do have a question. With the rehearsal process, when the first music rehearsal and everyone was singing, did that sound like, I know I think it sounded beautiful.
Oh,
but
it sounded,
was it kind of like what?
It was like almost surreal because you're sitting there and like, it's one thing to hear the tracks that you're, you know, that you, the notes that you got to sound like, and to hear it all come together. And it just sounds so beautiful. Like everybody
great.
Is just, it's almost ethereal a little bit because, I mean, Frozen is a little bit, mm-hmm. but like it just, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's the only thing I can say. That's how I felt. I just was standing there going, yes.
Just wait till it's in front of 12,000 people. And what's really cool.
And the cheer afterwards.
What's really cool is that I'm playing the king.
So I was going to ask if we could say that.
We're actually opposite each other. So if you have that out of body experience, I can guide you back because I know exactly what you're feeling.
We've talked about that before. As soon as you turn that corner for your guys' entrance and walk out, you're going to look and go, like a quick scan. Oh, adios, mija. It's going to be insane. It's going to be cool.
So for, all the people that are listening that are thinking, maybe I want to go audition for my first show. What are some of the things that you have learned? Like, you know, right off the bat, I think Alfonso was talking about the unspoken rules, and you're just stepping into this environment. So what is the stuff that you're noticing, seeing, learning, picking up?
Yeah.
It can be good, bad, and ugly, like for real.
Yeah. No, I'm having a great experience so far. I mean, I've never done this before, so it's kind of like this will be the guiding point on, you know, future shows that I would want to do at some point, right? Like this is the only thing I compare to. But like just doing it is my biggest thing. Like if you want to do it and you're thinking about it, just do it. Cause I mean, you're not getting any younger and I've waited till now to do it. But just do it. It's a lot of fun. I'm learning that I know more than I think I do. And that's a big thing for me is like, I feel like sometimes I'm not good enough, but in getting this role, it's boosted my self-confidence a lot. So it's helped me tremendously.
I don't want to interrupt you. I do want to interrupt you, actually.
Thanks.
But I didn't mean to. But Alfonso, you said almost verbatim the same thing she just said, that you had so much, not in like a sad, morbid way, but you had such self-doubt.
Yeah.
That by doing the theater and being around Legendary and whatever other theaters, but this is what we're talking about, you said Legendary, that it's given you this sense of, I want to work so hard because I can do it. You said something almost verbatim, like she said. I'm putting words in your mouth, but do you want to elaborate? Kind of, it's similar, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, in terms of like, if I'm going to be in this, I'm going to give it my all. Like, if it doesn't make any sense to anybody to like give it halfway, right? And we spoke in the last episode about what you put out there and what audiences return to. If I go out there as a performer, and I'm, you know, giving that half effort, I'm not really putting in everything I can, that audience will recognize that. They will see that. It is very obvious. And they're going to say, hey, if I see Alfonso on the top of the bill, I'm not going to that show. Or Alfonso's playing that character? No, I know I'm not going to get anything. The decisions that you make as a performer impact that theater, right? Because...
You also said, though, that when you got casted into the woods, that it gave you, on a personal level, and maybe I'm speaking out to you, Nathan, shut up. But you said to me, you literally said, it gave me a confidence. Like this dude or these people don't know me.
Yeah.
Believe in me.
That I can speak to. Yeah. I think that you spoke a lot about imposter syndrome is what you were talking about there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I walked into that, like into the woods audition, and I thought, they're way better than me. The exact same things you're saying. They're way better than me. I'm out of my league. What am I doing? And then I looked at that. We had the almost identical experience. So as you're telling me this, it's almost
your
identical.
Your out-of-body experience was in my audition as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it meant a lot to me. And I think maybe that's why that was such a release of emotion when I was cast, was this is a group of people who have established talent, very deep, a lot of depth. And they took this guy here that said, hey, you know what? He's got something. There's something that we see in him. Like, let's tap into that. Let's see what we can do. And I've seen that happen where that person maybe doesn't reach the top, doesn't reach their full potential, and they have that ceiling. for whatever reason, you guys saw something in me that I didn't even see yet, this potential. And now it's grown so much that I...
And I want our listeners to hear that, but I want Leah to hear that too, because what you're saying is literally, he literally said almost verbatim what you did, because it does give, and I, to be honest, which I usually am, that's part of the reason that I think I know why I do theater, why I even want to be a part of Legendary, is because I want to instill that, because I had that moment in life where I go, the aha moment going, oh, wow, I can do this. I matter in this element, this world, this community. I matter. It's like a switch goes, and not that you're at home going, I don't matter, but we all have those self-doubting moments in our life. And especially as you're getting older, and none of us here are old, but, okay, I'm old, but whatever. Mike's old too. But anyway, I know. But anyway, that's why I think it's so important to just be encouraging. And the people that didn't make the show doesn't mean they're not talented. It just wasn't right for this time. And I said this before, they can go play Frozen on Broadway and go star in it. It doesn't mean they're not good. But for this time, this moment, this cast, it just didn't work out. And that's okay. Yeah. But I do have a question about production team, not just because I'm on it. But did you have preconceived notion about like what the production team is supposed to be like or going to be like? And has it been what you expected or not? Or no, you were just like, I'm going to go for the ride.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Because I've always heard that production companies is all political, right? Like they're only going to cast the people that they like because they like them, and they just keep using the same person over and over and over again. That's why you see them, the same people over and over again, right? So I'm like, when I auditioned, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know who's coming in here, so I don't know if this production's the same or what I'm walking into. So, you know, it's maybe not a preconceived notion, but just like things that I've heard in the past.
Well, and just production. For the record, we did not and don't do that. we don't. And if we do, we're honest about it. We've talked about many times. If we're going to close the role, we'll tell you. So we don't waste your time. But Lee, I'm glad you came out. And I'm selfishly, you said earlier, like, I waited till now to go out for it. Well, I'm glad you did. We're glad you did, because we get to experience this process and this journey with you. And I think it's something cool and special. Yeah. Like, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And you're already doing really well.
Thank you.
Like, really. Like, when you auditioned, you did so really, really, really good job.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Could you tell that I was nervous when I was auditioning?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, not in a bad way. But I think our production team and I try so hard, and sometimes I don't do well, but I try so hard to make everyone feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if someone's singing the craziest off keynote, I try to smile and be encouraging, because I know they're being vulnerable and they're putting themselves out there, maybe their first time. And I want them to know, hey, we're rooting for you. We're rooting for two reasons, to be frank. We're rooting, one, because we don't want a sucky show. We want good people to come out. That's like, we want you to be good. I don't go, hope we get one good person. Everyone sucks. Yeah. I don't want that. And then the other reason I root is because what I talked about earlier, I want to inspire people. And our motto, like I've talked, is change, effect, move. And if in that one audition, even if they don't make the show, can encourage them to keep learning and growing and striving and become better, then that's what it's about. Right. And I think that, yeah, everyone has a nervous energy. And some people, they have, we'll call it tics, you know, they're fidgety, they shift their feet a lot, or they're looking around the room, or they're staring at you, but just right at your forehead. And you're like, so you sit up taller in your chair and be like, hi, like back here, you know, there's all kinds. I don't think you came across super nervous, but also I think that's why callbacks are very important, which I try to make very fun and everyone's accepted. Let's do this as a team. Let's enjoy this. So no matter what, if you don't get cast, you walk away and you accomplish callbacks.
Absolutely.
You own that. No matter what, you said, I made that my beep chicken noise. but
so I'll ask you a follow-up, Nathan. You can dodge this if you want to, but the queen is a very important part of Frozen. That's a very important part of the story.
Yes.
So what is it about Leah that made you think, hey, like, she's perfect for that role?
Talk about me first.
Perfect. Perfect's a hard word to say, but for this day. No, I'll tell you what, in the process, I'll just speak for my own opinion, not the whole production team, even though I kind of can, but I'll speak for myself. And you too, Alfonso, but the king and queen for me, and taking Frozen deeper than I think they even want you to, but for me, that's what establishes right away the loss for the daughters. And the characters have to be so endearing and have this warmth, but this also, I'll use the word bubbly, but just this inviting presence while still being stoic, being strong, but being loving. So when the daughters lose that and they're singing, it's touching as a song. Do you want to build a snowman? Ride my bike around the hall. You know, like, that's more than just a fun song. That's showing how both of them are hurting and growing and learning in those moments. And you two, and there was a very group of many talented people justifying so no one unfollows Alfonso.
Please don't. Please like me, guys.
But you guys brought such warmth in the chemistry of that together. Made me go, man, if I lost him, I'd be sad. As the daughters, obviously. Anyone, I'd be sad. But you guys brought such warmth. And on your vocals, you guys sounded really good singing it. It was really pretty. And Alfonso, your tone and timbre was great for the king. I was like, heck yeah. So those two together. And then I looked at the little girls when they were auditioning. I was like, sizing them up, going, man, who will connect with them backstage, but on stage? And when they get, spoiler, when they die in the shipwreck. I know. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I want the audience to go, oh, we love them. We like them. So that's
no, we want them to love us.
Yeah, we want them to love us.
Well,
well, hearing you sing, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? I think you should have auditioned.
I wouldn't have made it. I would have been one of the people that wouldn't have made it. Well, I would have cast myself.
We're anyway. Getting the wrap up signal here. But, Leah, thank you so much for joining us today. And I would be remiss if I didn't promote the show that she's actually in. So Disney's Frozen will be running at the Redlands Bowl in Redlands, California, July 23rd through the 26th. Yeah. We do have a public dress rehearsal on July 21st, if you want to see her.
I do want to say, Leah, thank you. I love that you're jumping into art and doing theater. I think you should continue to do it.
Yeah.
At Legendary or wherever. Legendary.
And before we wrap up, we got to do this really, really quick. But so you just came in, you're just doing this, you're being bombarded with all this new stuff.
Yeah.
What are your top takeaways? Like just instantly that come to your head, what have you learned so, for all the new people that may be listening?
Oh, geez. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot of things. Just listening and knowing that you're a team and not, it's not just individual, right? You come in and you're like, this is my, okay, yeah, I was cast as the queen, right? And I could run with that. But like knowing that we're all in it together and it's not just leads, right? He doesn't call people leads. He calls them
the ensemble.
And that really like, hit hard, like, you know, you're not just a lead. I don't feel like I'm a lead, right? Even though I have speaking parts.
No, you have a great role, but you are an ensemble.
But I am an ensemble.
Yeah, so, can I just say I've never heard more poise from somebody in their first show that had that get it.
I love
that
it.
Get it like you get it. That's so beautifully put.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But learning is, I mean, I'm always learning. There's something to learn every day. But that's an on the spot question.
That was good.
I love that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And this is the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. We will catch you next time.
See you guys. This is Alfonso.
Later.